Hey, good morning, church. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Still part of the Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you all didn't eat too much. For some people, the answer is probably yes, I ate too much because we cooked the same amount of food, but we had nobody over. And so, and then for others, people's like, well, nobody's coming over, and it's not, didn't even feel like Thanksgiving. And I know this Thanksgiving is kind of messed up. It's different because of COVID. I don't know about you, but I feel like I could kick COVID to the curb. There's a guy I know. His name is actually COVID. COVID with a K. And this is a true story. Every time his name is mentioned, there's like something inside of me that goes off, and like I feel like I want to blame him for like everything. I'm like, COVID, it's your fault, you know. But the fact of the matter is that, well, COVID, neither COVID or neither this pandemic COVID is a reason for us not to be thankful. You see, no matter what your situation is, and no matter how good you have it or how bad your situation is, and whatever it is, I believe that there's something to be thankful for. And so today, I kind of want us to pause from reflecting on all the things that are so easy to complain about and to talk about a reason to be thankful. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, this Thanksgiving weekend, Lord, I pray, Lord, that a message of thankfulness will flow out of my mind and flow from your spirit out of my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure you guys have Thanksgiving traditions in your family. In our family, we have a Thanksgiving tradition. And the tradition is this: we stand around in a circle, and before we eat, and we ask people, we like, name one thing you're thankful for. Just name a thing you're thankful for. And so I want you to do this. Pretend you're part of the Gary Wallace family for a second. You are family of God, but pretend you're part of my physical family, and that we're all around and we're all gathered around. We're socially distant, 6 feet apart, and we have this big circle, all of us in the circle, everybody watching the line in the circle. And you're invited to Thanksgiving dinner, and we say, we're going to go around in a circle. And you had to answer the question. Name one thing that you're thankful for. I kind of really want to hear what she says. If you were to name a thing you're thankful for, I want you to write it in the chat. Type it in the chat, something I'm thankful for. Something I'm thankful for. Just write it in the, type it in the chat. For some people, that's an easy exercise, right? And for some people, it's not really such an easy exercise. So at our Thanksgiving, back to our Thanksgiving, we don't know where the circle is going to start. Usually, somebody picks the start of the circle, says, you start off. And we go around in a circle. And when you first start off, it's pretty easy for you. You kind of pick off the easy ones, of course, first person's going to say, I want to thank God, and I thank God. And then the person's like, well, that one's taken, so I'm going to thank family. And I would say, I thank my kids or parents. But after you go on for a little while, you start to I don't want to repeat what that guy just said or my brother just said, because that sounds kind of lame. And so you don't want to do that. And it becomes harder and harder as you go around the circle. And if you're the last guy in the circle, you're just like, I want to thank God for everything. I'm thankful for everything else everybody has said. But have you ever really stopped to think about why is it that beyond the usual suspects, why is it that we oftentimes find it so hard to be thankful? And I think that there are many reasons why that could be the case. One of the reasons is that I think that there are things that we have that we're not really we don't really express thanks for because we kind of expect it. You never really thank God for electricity. Because you go and you turn on the light switch, you expect the light to come on. You turn on the pipe, you expect water to come out. You just kind of expect it, so you don't really think about it. You kind of take it for granted, right? So nobody gives thanks for electricity. Another reason could be maybe we think we deserve it. So I don't want to give thanks for something that really I deserve. It's like somebody says, you should thank your alma mater for your degree. I'm like, thank? Thanks, St. Thomas University. Thanks, FIU. Man, you know how much money I paid? I ain't thanking them. They should thank me for my... Because who gives thanks for something that you deserve, right, and work hard for? Who gives thanks for something that, you know, somebody paid you back some money that they owed you for a long time? I don't really say thanks. They should have paid you back. So maybe you think, maybe we think we deserve it, right? So we don't give thanks for that. You know, we don't think about it. And a third reason is some of us, many of us, we just simply can't think of really many good reasons to say thanks. And I want to tell you this, you know, I encourage you this morning that if you're in that category, I feel you. And I feel for you. Because if you're in that category, the chances are the pressures of life, the pressures of 2020, the pressures of COVID, the pressures of a failed relationship, or maybe the expectations that I'd be in a relationship, I'd be married, I'd have some kids, I'd have just somebody who would love me. It's tough, and you struggle because, or maybe because you expected God to show up for you in some area, and he didn't. And all you can think about is, well, why didn't God show up for me? Like, he showed up for other people, why didn't he show up for me? Like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with God? And you're struggling because your mind's all wrapped up in there and you're struggling with thinking of reasons to be thankful. And so, you know, you're in the middle of hurt, pain, stress, strain. I don't know what your reasons are, you know, if you're your reasons may be different than these. But it doesn't really matter because regardless of what they are, all of us have some kind of struggle with being thankful for as many things as we should be thankful for. And you may be saying, well, that ain't me, man. I give God thanks all the time. I wake up every morning giving thanks. I'm like, really? Think back to all the prayers that you think back to your prayers. Like, think back over the past day of any prayers that you made. And think about how many times, how much time you spend thanking versus asking God. Thanking God versus asking God. When you think back to some of the conversations you had with your family about your job, about your spouse, about your friend, or your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, or your kids, or whatever. How much time did you spend complaining versus how much time did you spend thanking them? And, you know, if you think I'm picking on you, I'm not really picking on you. I'm not, because, as I said, we're all guilty to one degree or another. And this has been going on for a long time. In Luke chapter 17, Luke, who was a companion of Paul, and Paul, if you don't know who Paul was one of the most influential guys in spreading the message of Jesus. Luke tells about a time in chapter 17 when Jesus did something for 10 guys who were very sick. Luke tells a story that Jesus was walking to Jerusalem. He was on the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he saw 10 lepers. Now, leprosy was a deadly skin disease that would just eat away at your body, and, you know, it's very highly contagious, and you couldn't approach people when you had leprosy. You had to leave your family and all that, and you had to walk around yelling, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" People would stay away from you and unclean. So here's a story that Luke told. He said as Jesus entered a village there, he went to the village on the road between Samaria and Galilee, there's a village there, there were 10 men with leprosy. And these men were at a distance and they started crying out, "Jesus, Master! Have mercy on us." Jesus looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And they left, and as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. On the way, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God, praise God." And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet. And he was thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, he's like, "Didn't I just heal 10 men? Where are the other guys? Where are the other 9? And nobody else came back? Nobody else returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And then Jesus said to the man who was still on the ground, he's like, stand up and go because your faith has healed you. You know, we don't know much about these 10 guys. We don't know what each of their personal story was. But we do know a few things, right? We know that each one of these guys had a personal story. Maybe one of these guys, you know, he had missed his family. He had been away from his family. He's been sick with leprosy so long that he was so excited. He's like, I got to go see my wife and I got to come and see my kids because now I can get to hug them and tell them how to heal. Maybe another one was really angry and that he got this illness and that he didn't deserve. And he's like, I'm mad. I didn't deserve this. And now he's healed. Like, about time I'm healed. And he ran off. Maybe another one simply thought, God knows my heart. He knows I'm thankful. I don't need to go back. If I wasn't thankful, I'd go back and tell him I wasn't thankful. You know, there's a story about this guy. His wife said to him, honey, how come you never tell me you love me? He's like, look, when we got married, I told you I love you. And if that ever changed, I'll tell you it changed. But until then, hold on to that. I mean, you know that doesn't really work if you want a good marriage. It's this God knows my heart thing. But each one of them had a reason why they didn't come back. And even if they didn't know what that reason was, they had a reason why they didn't come back. And only one of them came back and made it a point to express gratitude. You know, as we read the story that's nestled right in the middle of Luke's book in the Bible, it's really kind of easy to miss the significance of what was happening. We had these 10 guys, right? Who had the worst disease of the day. The disease, the body has this disease that was almost like a flesh-eating bacteria that over time it would cause sores, and sores would pop up over your body and it would cause pain and then it would cause a loss of feelings and then eventually your extremities start to fall off, your fingers would start to fall off, eventually your arm or maybe a leg. And not only there was physical pain, there was emotional pain. It was horrendous also because you're separated from your family. You're separated from your livelihood. And you're separated from society and all your connections were gone. And imagine that you had to walk around and when you saw anybody in the distance, you had to yell, unclean, 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 stay away, I'm unclean, stay away. If you think COVID quarantine was bad, think about how that was. It was like COVID quarantine on steroids. In the midst of this mess, Jesus tells them to do something that made no sense whatsoever. They asked Jesus to have mercy on them. Instead of Jesus saying, you're healed, Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priests. And I can imagine what these men were looking on like, man, I got all these sores. Why am I going to go to the priest? You only go to the priest if you're well, but we are obviously not well. But how many of you know that oftentimes God will put you in a place where in the middle of your need, in the middle of your problem, in the middle of the stress, he will tell you to do something that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like maybe you're broke and you got like $5 in your name and you see some homeless guy and you feel the sense to give him. Someone's like, come on, we got $5. But you see in that place where God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense, that's kind of where he wants to show up in a big way. You see, in the place where it doesn't make sense, that's where deliverance comes. That's where healing comes. And that's where it came for these men. So I want to encourage you today, just have like 3 points for you today. The first one is be thankful. Be thankful. And that doesn't really come naturally, right? It takes practice to be a thankful person. And here's how you do it. You start out by making it a daily habit to be thankful to God. It's like every day I'm going to make it. I'm going to force myself to make it a habit to make it. If you ever just stop for one pause for 1 millisecond. Just thought about it. It's that every single thing, every promise, every single relationship, every single dollar that you have came as a result of God. He gave you a family that you were born in. You didn't do anything for that. He gave you a brain to study so you could graduate with a good degree. You didn't do anything for that. He gave you abilities. You didn't do anything for that. He gave you a personality, and he gave you your passions. All you had to do was just show up. You started utilizing what God gave you, and when you think about that, it becomes a whole lot easier to begin practicing a daily habit of being thankful. And I believe that when you think about like how to be thankful, because I tell you, like, Thanksgiving, it's hard after you run through the God, family, parents, kids. You like start to run out of stuff. Well, let me give you some. The first thing you got to give thanks for, as being a thankful person, is give thanks for thee. And I have for thee dot 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 dot. You see, because you got to fill in the blanks, right? I want you to practice giving thanks for thee dot 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 for the blank. I want you to give thanks for the blessings in your life. See, we're filled with blessings. One songwriter says, in my life, I'm soaked in blessing. Another songwriter says, count your blessing. Name them one by one. Count your blessing. See what God has done. Count your blessing. Name them one by one. When you do that, it's going to surprise you what the Lord has done. But I know it's very easy, it's very hard to think about them on the fly. That is why you need to come up with a system, you see, to remember them. You know, in Deuteronomy 8, Moses told the people that, you know, he says, look, you need to remember the blessing that God gave you. And he's like, hey, Moses, like, remember the blessing. And he's like, hey, remember he gave you manna? You know, that food that he gave you, that's like nobody know what, never gotten manna before and not manna since, but it sustained you. And remember the time he gave you water from a rock? Remember the time he kept you from poisonous snakes and scorpions? Remember while you're walking through the desert? He said, remember those blessings. Because soon God is going to start to give you more. He's going to start to give you a nicer standard of living. He's going to start to give you a bigger house. And he's going to start to give you a nicer job. And he's going to start to give you more money. He's going to start to give you more stuff. And he was like, do not forget. I like this. I like how I put this. Do not to forget to remember the Lord and thank him. Because he's the one who gave you the power to be successful. Because you see, if you don't remember to give thanks for those things, what's going to happen? You're going to become proud. You're going to think, I did this and I did this. You're going to develop, maybe it's not proud, maybe you're going to develop a sense of entitlement. Well, I deserve it. Or maybe you're going to think that, well, this is all, you know, kind of this is how it is, right? It's like electricity. You start taking it for granted. You think, I deserve this. I paid my dues. And you start down on a path that's going to lead you down a slippery slope of putting faith in the things that you did nothing to deserve, but and it's going to destroy you. And that's why all over the Bible, so many writers tell us, remember, like Simba, remember and give thanks. Praise, bless up, praise, worship, and rejoice. And all those are expressions of gratitude for the things he has done. But you also, not only to give thanks for thee, you need to give thanks in thee. Give thanks in thee. And one of the Psalms that I love to quote a lot, you'll hear it come up in many of my messages. It's about the same things about Psalms 23 because it is so illustrative for life. It has all the elements in there. You know, where Moses challenged them to thank God for thee. David, on the other hand, challenged us to thank God in thee. Dot, 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 dot. You see, David knew a lot about the for thee, but when he was on the run, when he was being hunted down by the king, when he was being hunted down by the powerful Israeli army that they wanted to kill him, and David was running away, I was like, and he couldn't understand why. David thanked God in thee. Dot, 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 dot. He started out with the for thee, and that's the thing, that you need to start to practice remembering God for the blessings so that you can thank God in the mess, in the troubles. You know, when you go into your trials and when you go into your storms and when you go into your valley, you can confidently say that, God, I don't really know how I ended up here. I don't really know how I ended up in this situation, but I know this. I know that I'm going to get out. I know I'm going to get out because I know that because you are with me. So even when I walk through this valley, you are with me. And I'm going to trust in the knowledge that you're with me. And I thank you for that. I thank you that I'm not alone. I thank you that you are with me. You're even with me that you even set up a table before me in the middle of my mess, which is a daily provision in the middle of my mess. You know, there's a songwriter. His name is Horatio Spafford. That's a kind of strange name, Spafford. Not Stafford, Spafford, I think his name was. And he said this, and when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, whatever is going on in thee, God has taught me to say, it is well. It is well. And I think about that. If you thought about that, when you're in thee, it brings you so much peace. Like a river. And no matter how much Satan should buffet, and he's like, Satan's hitting you back and forth, and no, how much trial should come, thanking God in thee, brings peace to your soul. It just does. And that's why David could say in Psalms 34, he's like, you know what? I will thank the Lord at all times. My mouth will continually, my mouth will always praise him. Basically, not only should we give thanks for thee, we should not only give thanks in thee, we should give thanks because of thee, See, we not only need to practice thanking God for those times, but we need to practice thanking God in thee, because when we practice God in thee, it sets it up to thank God because of thee. And Paul illustrates this in Romans 8:28, and he says, and we know this, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So you're not only thanking God in the presence, for his presence in the valley, with you in the valley, you can start thanking God because of the valley. I'm like, well, let me say that one more time. That's deep. You're not only thanking God for his presence with you in the valley, you're thanking God because of the valley. Like, so you're not really sure how, but you believe because you have the knowledge that, and I know this, that my God is going to work out all things together for my good. I know that my God, so I'm in this valley, I know God's going to work this out for good. I'm going to thank God because of thee. And when you get the realization that your thanksgiving goes to a whole nother level, and that level is thanking God in advance. You're thanking God for, because God, I'm thanking you that you're going to take me through this valley. I'm thanking you, God, that I'm learning stuff in this valley. You're teaching me patience in this valley. You teach me to wait on you in this valley. And I know that's going to come out good. I'm going to thank you for that. And whatever I'm going through, I'm going to thank you, God, for that. Your finances may look bleak, and I say, God, I'm going to thank you for what you're going to do when you deliver me from these finances, these financial mess. Thank you for the lessons that you're teaching me in this mess. When they hire that girl that you're convinced that they would be just perfect for you, they'd be the perfect wife or husband or boyfriend or whatever for you, and you're convinced that, but they don't seem to think that they would be perfect for you. They don't even feel the same way you do at all. You can say, God, I thank you for the lessons you're teaching me all this, and I thank you for what you're going to do. You see, when you thank God in advance, it plants and waters a seed of faith. When you give God praise, it gives you strength. And it gives you strength and it keeps you moving forward. You know, so many times we're in situations and we keep begging God for deliverance. God, please deliver me. Please deliver me. I beg you, God, deliver me. Take me out of this mess. I want you to try something. I want you to try this. I mean, you should pray for deliverance every time. But every time you start to worry, turn that praise and thanking God for the good that he's going to do in the situation. You say, God, I thank you for the good you're going to bring out of this. Deliver me, but I thank you for the good you're going to bring out of this. Save me, God. Thank you for the good you're going to bring out of this. Lord, thank you for the lessons I'm learning. But not only should you be thankful, you should also act thankful. Act thankful. Your thankfulness got to lead to some actions. You know, in the story that Luke told, only one healed leper came back. Only one returned to Jesus. Only one reversed his steps. Only one retraced his steps and went out of his way. And only one took an active step of thanks back to Jesus. And Jesus' only command to this guy, to all of them, was, go, you shall show yourself to the priest. Jesus didn't command him and say, hey, make sure you come back and tell me thanks. Jesus just expects us to be, to act thankful. He expected the people to come back. That's why he asked, well, what happened to the other nine? You see, God not only expects us to be thankful, he also wants us to demonstrate that gratitude in our actions. So I have a question for you this morning. Who in your life do you need to take some action to express gratitude to? Who in your life has impacted you or your family positively? Who in your life has made a difference? Maybe somebody at church, maybe somebody at work, maybe a teacher from high school that you remember fondly that they taught you some stuff. For me, I had a teacher in the 11th grade English, college prep English, Miss Prudence Termini. I hope she's still around. I thank you, Miss Termini, because that's how I learned how to write. It could be a pastor on some podcast you listen to. It could be somebody who don't even know who you are, don't even know you exist. But they're making a difference and an impact in your life. Whoever it is, I want to challenge you this Thanksgiving weekend to send them a text, to send them an email, to pick up the phone, to send them a card. You see, being thankful isn't enough. You have to take some action of appreciation, act thankful. But there's a third thing that you should do. Not only should you be thankful, not only should you act thankful, but that's got to become part of your life. You got to live thankful. You see, when you're thankful, God is blessed. When you act thankful, not only is God blessed, but others are blessed. But when you live thankful, not only is God blessed, not only are others are blessed, but you are also blessed. I want to point out something for you. In Luke 17, verse 15, Luke said, one of them, when he saw he was healed, I'm going to pause there. See, the original word for healed right there was a medical word meaning repaired. As in to fix something that was physically wrong, like a broken arm. Like if your arm is broken, that's the original word. One of them, when he saw he was repaired. I want you to contrast that with what it says in verse 17. He uses healed again. Jesus asked him, well, didn't I heal 10 men? But that heal there is a different medical word in the original word, the original language. That word is, that word is a Greek word where we get the word catheter from, which means to remove an impurity. So when Jesus asked, didn't I remove impurity from 10 men? I want you to contrast that with verse 19. when Jesus said to the man, stand up and go, your faith has healed. It uses another word. The original word that it used there is a word that means saved, as in being saved from a dangerous situation. That's not even a medical word anymore. That's just a generic word, saved from a dangerous situation. Three words that describes what happens to you when you live thankful. See, when you live a life characterized by thankfulness, it repairs you, it purifies you, and it saves you from dangers and dangerous situations. I love Google, right? Because Google proves many things, right? You just Google it, and study after study, it shows that when you live thankful, it does a number of things. One, it improves your mental wellness. When you live thankful, you're mentally healthier. It makes you nicer. It increases your self-esteem. It increases your resilience, your ability to bounce back. It increases your mental strength. It improves your attitude, and it gives you a better outlook on life, all by practicing living thankful. But it not only improves your mental wellness, but it also repairs and it purifies you. It increases your physical health. And studies show that living a life of thankfulness and having an attitude of gratitude makes you less likely to abuse drugs. It makes you less likely to abuse alcohol. Just by thinking about that, just by being thankful, you're less likely to abuse alcohol and drugs. It improves your cardiovascular and your heart health. And the list goes on and on and on, all the physical benefits. And one study even showed, I love this study, that when you make a habit of recognizing and thanking and praising your spouse, it improves your romance and it improves your sexual health. So men out there, start praising, habit, recognizing, thanking like crazy. And thank me for it. Actually, don't thank me. Thank God. He's the one who tells you to live thankful. I know some of you are smiling. You're going to try that. I know you're going to try that. So, what would it look like for you to live a life of thankfulness? What would it look like? You know, last year, my son, Jonathan, he decided to do something that I think we all should do. He decided to do 365 days of thankfulness. And every day he was going to post something that he was thankful for. I think he got to about 330 and then he quit. I'm like, he didn't make it to 365. But it was interesting watching every day his post to see what he was posting. And I want to challenge each and every one of us that we should take that 365-day thankfulness challenge. And every day write down something that we're thankful for. You can write it in your phone, your post-it pad, stick it up. You can write it in your journal. If you want to post it on the internet, you can maybe keep some people accountable. But I want to challenge you to think of different things every day. So I'm going to give you a rule. You can't repeat anything for at least a month. Whatever you write, you can't repeat it for a month. And nothing is too small. Oh, by the way, here's another rule. You can't repeat it for a month, and you can't say the same thing more than four times in a year. Because I want you to think about your blessings. And the thing that, and if nothing is too small, you can say, God, I thank you for the air. Thank you for legs that I got out of bed that when I stood up on the legs, they didn't buckle. I think that when you do that, when we do that, it's going to surprise all of us what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing. And then once you write it down, there's another thing I want you to do. If there's another person involved, which there oftentimes is, I want you to tell that person who provided that blessing in your life. It may be God. God, thank you for these legs. God, thank you for fresh air that I breathe. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Or it could be a friend or some random person who blessed you. It will change your life, and it will change your life. You know, as I'm closing out this Thanksgiving message, I want to take the moment to thank the people who have made PCC Online a reality. They're like nine people who put in week over week. They're normally up till 2:33 in the morning when we're recording this. If you guys thought it was live, no, we record it and then we do it live. So there you have a secret. Week over week. Guys like Andrew, who's on our soundboard, and Sean, the praise team, you know, Jess, who every week who edits up these videos, and Sean, who does some of the editing too, and we have Tiffany, and we have Simone, Jonathan, and Matthew, and Donna. And the people who play adjunct roles. I want to thank God for our PCC kids leaders and all, you know, Dion and Claudia and Ingrid and Audrey and June, and I'm gonna mess up some names, but you know who you are, like, because I'm just freestyling right now. So if I forgot your name, forgive me. Judy, our office manager. I thank God for all the small group leaders. Donut, Pastor Donut, who makes sure that our Live Better Thursday night Zoom sessions and our prayer calls. People like Sister Thelma Warno, Mr. Seal, and Evelyn, who reaches out week over week to encourage. And I know I'm leaving out many names, but I just want to let you know that each one of you has been a blessing in my life, and I thank you. And because of your blessing, that's why we do this week over week. And everybody, thank you. Thank you. Let's just pray. Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to give thanks. Lord, I pray that I will always be thankful. I'll always act thankful. And always live thankful. Thank you for each and every person. Thank you for the opportunity to minister and to give, spread your word to them. Bless them now. And if anybody doesn't know you in a very real way, in a personal way, I pray that this Thanksgiving, they say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit and all the gifts that you have for me. And I'll commit to live for you. And it'll be their best Thanksgiving ever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you next week.